Blog Talk Radio.
Hi everyone, my name is Nicole Jardim and welcome to the Period Party. I am here with a dear friend, her name is Melissa Turner. Hi Melissa.
Hey, it's so good to be here.
Yes, it's so good to have you, especially since it's Endometriosis Awareness Month. I'm super excited to have you and have this conversation because I think it's really, really crucial for so many women who are dealing with endo, but I know we'll get all into that as soon as I introduce you and talk about what we're going to cover today. So thank you for being here with me today.
Yay!
Yes, okay. So this episode is the key stress triggers women with endometriosis may not know about, and we're going to delve all into that. We're going to talk about Melissa's personal story of not feeling good enough and how that drove her to feeling unwell and stressed. We're going to talk about how to connect self-care and a healthy lifestyle to successfully manage endometriosis. And then Melissa's going to share 5 tips on how to truly love yourself and how that translates to better health. So for everyone who does not know, Melissa runs Endo Empowered, a business which supports women with endometriosis. Her amazing reach technique allows women to manage endometriosis successfully using a holistic approach. You can find out more about Melissa at endoempowered.com, or you can click on the link in the program description on the website, on Blog Talk Radio website. So thanks for being here, Melissa. I'm excited to jump right in.
Yeah, thank you so much. I can't wait to share and support women more with endometriosis.
Absolutely. I know. And maybe you should tell everyone where you're calling from.
I'm in New Zealand.
New Zealand, right, yes. I mean, I just wanted to let everyone know because obviously you have an accent and I'm sure people might want to know. So now we've gotten that out of the way. We can jump into...
Well, I'm originally South African. Born to German parents, lived in London, Australia, New Zealand. So take your pick.
girl, you have been all over. It's true. Because when we met, it's almost 4 years ago now, you were living in London at the time. And then you just picked right up and went to live in New Zealand.
Yeah. Yeah, I like to travel.
Yes, clearly. It's a good thing. I like to travel too. So I would love to start by just talking a little bit about your personal story of, you know, not feeling good enough, because I think that every single woman on the planet can likely relate to that at some point or another in their lives. And I'm curious about how you felt that that drove you to feeling unwell and stressed and then maybe messing with how your hormones function too.
Definitely, yeah. So I really only noticed that I had this feeling of not being good enough fairly late in life. I worked really hard. I had a job in advertising for a number of years, and I used to always be the one working late, doing extra. You know, if the boss wanted something, he'd call me and nobody else. And I always used to think this was a good thing. And I used to people please to the nth degree. You know, I would go over beyond whatever was required because I really wanted that approval. And this kind of constant driving myself and constantly wanting to be the best and getting that recognition was a huge stress factor for me. And I couldn't really work out why I was so stressed out at work and why everybody else seemed to be quite okay with, you know, their jobs and they, you know, sort of chill out on the weekends. And I always used to feel like my weekends were more of a recovery than a, you know, sort of time to be social and do stuff. And I couldn't work out what my sort of thing was around that, why I was so stressed out. And it was interesting because through, you know, my 20s, my hormone levels were never great. I, you know, just had a lot of PMS symptoms, a lot of issues around my hormones, and I had obviously endometriosis. I'd been diagnosed at endometriosis at 19, so it was, you know, sort of fairly early on.
Right.
But I did know that whenever I felt stressed, my endometriosis pain would get a lot worse. And so I felt like it was really important for me to work out why I was getting stressed. Or, you know, at the time I thought, well, maybe I can just take something to alleviate the stress or do things differently in my life that perhaps caused me less stress. You know, so I would do silly things. I mean, like, you know, I noticed that traffic drove me, you know, batty. So I, you know, whenever there was traffic, I would get super stressed. And I would be, you know, one of those people that would yell at other people when I was driving for doing silly things or whatever. I was like one of the total road rage people, you know, like I was totally, you know. And so I worked out that this was obviously a trigger of stress for me. So instead of sitting in traffic, I would make a point of getting up early and going to work early. And then that way I would avoid that. And it started with something as basic as traffic, but then it gradually got into more and more things that I was kind of cutting out of my life to try and avoid this big infamous stress thing, you know, because I'd worked out, okay, stress is bad for endo. Let me just cut out stress and then endo will be better.
Right.
But got to a point where slowly but surely there was less and less important things in my life, you know. I didn't want to reach too far in terms of my career. I didn't want to study because it would be stress. I didn't want to, you know, have certain people in my life because they caused me stress. And, you know, slowly but surely my life became fairly insignificant, you know, because at some point you're going to feel stress. And there are, you know, there's healthy stress as well. And
absolutely.
So because of the endometriosis, I think I went on a little bit of a different journey to perhaps most women, in that I really wanted to understand stress a little bit more and what was my particular trigger for stress. And I actually went on a course around psychology, and they'd connected that with endometriosis, the theory is that there is a tiniest perfectionism type of stress. And time is perfectionism essentially is defined as somebody who wants to do something quickly but perfectly at the same time, which is practically impossible. You know, I mean, you cannot do something perfectly quickly. You know, it's like very rare and not get stressed about that. And so through doing this course, I'd realized that I obviously had this scenario, and, you know, they sort of brought up the whole thing around traffic and why you get stressed out in traffic is that you find other people's driving annoying because you believe your driving is perfect, which, you know, was interesting. But what came out of that was that I realized that ultimately it wasn't so much that the things in my life were a trigger of stress. It was actually how I viewed the things in my life. And at the end,
absolutely,
it came to a very deep realization of going, the reason I please my boss so intently, the reason I work overtime so much, the reason I want to excel and be the best at everything is because ultimately, deep down, I just didn't feel like I was good enough. And that took a huge amount of courage to recognize, a huge amount of acknowledging that this was, you know, coming from a deep-seated place, from, you know, growing up and you know, my family history and all of these things had contributed to this feeling, and realizing that that too was ultimately a choice, and noticing that other people didn't seem to have it to the same degree I did, but that, you know, it tended to be more something that women felt as well. So for a long time, I actually beat myself up about that because I didn't believe that other women felt that. And, you know, it was very something I kept to myself and didn't want to tell anyone that I had this terrible issue, you know. But it was through the work that I do now that I realized that there's a lot of women who have this feeling. And I think that that is a big reason why women have this extreme stress feeling, why they drive themselves to the nth degree. I mean, they have, I'm not a good enough mom, I'm not a good enough wife, I'm not a good enough at my work, I'm not a good enough business person, or whatever it is that they do. And so they keep telling themselves this message, and that ultimately drives them to work extremely hard and to feel a lot of guilt. And guilt is a horrible emotion, and one that you can't really resolve very easily. You know, it's sort of, yeah, it really gets into the core of a person. So, yeah, so I think that ultimately made me feel really unwell and triggered a lot of the responses I had with endometriosis potentially being worse than it needed to be.
How so? Like, what was, you know, was it that, obviously I'm imagining that it was the pain that got worse, but you felt like there was a direct correlation to your feelings of not being good enough and inadequacy brought combined with the fact that you were working extremely hard and very stressed out, that led to your endometriosis symptoms becoming worse?
I think it was a little bit deeper than that. I think that because I didn't believe I was good enough, I didn't take care of myself very well. You know, I didn't believe that I was worthy of you know, looking after my body. I didn't believe that, you know, those kinds of things, you know. So when I talk about nourishing the body now, I often come across this where women, they have a crappy day or they don't feel good about themselves and the desire for chocolate becomes really intense on those days. And I still have that to this day, you know, where, you know, I'll have those kind of days and my first instinct is I want chocolate. And I think it's this sort of almost not so much giving up on yourself, but it's like almost a disliking of yourself. And so the desire to eat well and to exercise and to do those things that you know ultimately make you feel better almost get put on a sideburn because it's like, well, I don't feel well. I don't feel like doing these things. I'm not worthy. And so I'm not going to invest in my health and invest in myself. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. Oh, my goodness. Yeah. There's no doubt. I mean, for me, it's been a similar journey. And I think when you're not feeling good about yourself, you, of course, then treat yourself the way you're feeling about yourself. So you don't take care of your body. You don't take care of your health. You don't really eat very well. You don't hang out with people who bring you up and empower you. I mean, the list goes on and on, right?
Exactly. And that's where I think it all comes back to is ultimately if you believe you're worth it and you believe your health is worth it, then you will invest in that and you will invest in the best possible way you can do that. And that's why, you know, it's sort of a journey because I don't know if, like, you kind of have to get to that part. And that took me a very long time to realize that, look, you know, I do have a choice on what I put in my mouth and I can choose whether it's going to be something that nourishes me or something that doesn't, you know.
Yeah, for sure. I know. I think that's the thing, right? We all have a choice. And we get to decide every single time we eat or every single day we wake up. I mean, we definitely have a choice. And so when it comes to self-care and a healthy lifestyle, how has that impacted your endometriosis? I'm really curious to understand, and I think probably the audience is too, what your endometriosis was like before, you know, you started to do the work that you needed to do to get to where you are right now.
It was unbelievably painful. I suffered a huge amount of pain levels, particularly, you know, around my job, and my boss was not understanding at all. My tummy would bloat out to, like, I looked 3 months pregnant. I had pain throughout the month. It wasn't just during my period, but it was particularly bad during my period. I would get pain a few days before my period and then intense pain on the first 2 days to the point where I actually couldn't go to work. It was that intense. I would just lay on the couch, and it was horrendous. I remember one time actually being in so much pain that I got sick. I threw up at work. It was terrible. I had 7 operations. I had countless hormone treatments, and my entire handbag was just full of drugs to try and cope with either side effects or the pain. You know, I got to a point where painkillers started to not work anymore because they had lost their strength. You know, that's how bad it was. And now...
How long did that go on for you? Just curious, how long did you live like that? Because that must have been really traumatic.
It was horrible. 15 years I did that. 15 years. Wow. And this is why I dedicated my work to doing this because now it's my second day of my period today. And I don't have pain at all. Like, I'm, you know, totally energized. I can do whatever I want. I feel completely normal. And, you know, it's amazing to me when there's so much misinformation around endometriosis, women being told there's nothing they can do, and nothing frustrates me more than hearing those words because I can tell you there's so much we can do. And you know, that's why I want to empower women around, you know, what they can do for their endometriosis to manage this, because it is totally manageable. So yeah, and you know, I've seen
talk
it
to me
so
about
many.
That. Oh, go ahead. Sorry. No, I was going to ask you really quickly. Yeah. You know, like what? So you lived like that for 15 years, and how long did it take you? You know, from the time you started to make changes to your diet and your lifestyle to really start to see results.
It was quite a long journey because I had no idea what I was doing. You know,
yeah.
The word healthy,
I can
healthy
still relate.
Diet.
Yeah.
Healthy diet is such a broad and innocent word, but really it's incredibly confusing once you start diving into trying to figure out what to eat. And I mean, I see it all the time. There's so much misinformation around endometriosis as well. Just, you know, people reading something about hormone balance and going, well, if that applies to menopause, then that probably applies to endometriosis, and it doesn't, you know. So I did 5 years of trial and error of trying different diets, so trying supplements. And initially my focus was very heavy on diet and supplements because I thought that that was everything. And it's only recently that I realized actually, no, there's way more to this, through working with clients and recognizing that they had done the best they could in terms of diet and they still weren't getting the results that I was getting. And then we realized, mm-hmm. okay, we need a holistic plan here. And that's where I came up with my REACH technique. So REACH is an acronym, and it stands for mm-hmm. replenish, which is diet. So we start off with replenishing, and we don't use the word diet because that feels restrictive, and I'm all about, you know, what you can put in rather than just what you can take out. Then we look at exercise. Affirm is A, which is all around looking at your emotional health and, you know, that feeling of not being good enough. We really tackle that head on. And then C is for care, and looking at how we can detoxify the body. And this is a huge, huge part that so many women with endometriosis don't recognize. There's been studies where they've shown that dioxin, which is a key ingredient in Roundup, which is a common pesticide, and you know they use pretty much on most massive, you know, plantations, is directly connected to endometriosis. They've shown that dioxin causes endometriosis in monkeys. So there is a direct correlation to that. And there's a lot of toxins in our environment that will influence our hormone balance and, you know, potentially the trigger of endometriosis. So we focus a lot on that, and also ensuring that you don't have heavy metals in your body, so mercury and lead, and using a very specific technique on getting those out of the body, because they've also been shown to be huge hormone disruptors. So, yeah, and then H stands for help and support, and really giving women that support that is just so lacking around endometriosis. There's so little awareness of the condition. There's so little just community support, and, you know, even getting support from your work environment can be really challenging. You know, often it's quite challenging to explain to your boss what this is, especially if he's male, you know, sort of explaining mm-hmm. what you have, getting understanding around it is quite difficult. So hence why, you know, there's a huge component of my business is supporting women, just, you know, providing a space that's private where they can talk openly and get help from women who are using a holistic approach. So there's a support group, a free support group on Facebook that is very active. There's, you know, over 1,000 members in there now, and just incredibly positive, incredibly helpful, and women really just wanting to guide others because they've seen their results for themselves. So, yeah.
Seriously, incredible. I think that there are so many layers to endometriosis, and I mean to really all conditions caused by hormonal imbalances, that you really need to take a multifaceted approach. So I really love that you came up with this with the REACH technique. I think it's incredible. And it, you know, again, it's like it's tackling all of these different causes or reasons that a woman might have endometriosis or hormonal imbalance or some other condition in it. And so do you feel like it's one of those, your program or your techniques are good for women who are experiencing any kind of pain and or any kind of hormonal imbalance? Because it sounds that way.
Oh, definitely, definitely. I have very much focused around endometriosis because that's my experience and because it's particularly helped me and you know, the woman who have been attracted to my work through, you know, through my blogging. But it would help anyone pretty much with anything, to be honest, because it's a holistic approach. We provide for the body in the best possible way, and then the body does the healing. You know, it's like putting a plant in the perfect soil, in the perfect sunlight with beautiful water, it's going to do well. And that's exactly what we do. So we provide all those elements. And yes, there's a case of taking some stuff out. Like you wouldn't put, you know, a plant in, you know, sea sand. It's not, you know, unless it grows there. But, you know, if you took a normal plant and put it in sea sand, it's not going to do too well. So there are situations where we cut out some things, but those are generally things that inhibit the body in some way. And so there's a reason why we recommend that. But yeah, it is about being holistic, and that would work for any situation, any condition. The program itself, so I've developed a program called the Indo Wellness Technique, and we follow the REACH technique step by step. It is a year-long program, and the reason why it's a year-long is that endometriosis is a complex condition, and those changes need to be made as you go. So I know that for a lot of women with endometriosis, a feeling of overwhelm is very common. It actually relates to, ironically, one of the symptoms of endometriosis, which is estrogen dominance. So when we don't have enough progesterone, we can feel overwhelmed very easily. So I kind of have to take
it.
So it takes women step by step through every single one of the REACH technique principles, but it starts off with replenishing, then moves you through. And there's a reason we've designed it that way as well, because the body needs to be ready for each stage as you go.
Right, of course. And so how about the tips that you wanted to share to, you know, for women to really learn how to truly love themselves, and if there's anything else that you want to share on what women who have been diagnosed with endometriosis can do or can at least start to do.
Yeah, definitely. So the main way to love yourself is to look at your body as a separate being initially, because when you have endometriosis, it's very easy to get angry with your body. I know I went through this myself where I, you know, was angry that I had the condition. And so I almost, you know, had anger towards my body. So what I recommend is actually seeing your body as like a child that you have to look after, and almost separating yourself from it in a way and saying, okay, how do I nurture this child? Like if you had a child, what would you do for that child? You know, you would make sure that your child goes to bed early. So that's, you know, tip one, go to bed by 10 p.m. It makes a massive, massive difference. Women dismiss this all the time, but I've tested this on myself, and I know that my hormone levels change when I go to bed early. It's different. I do not get any of the PMS symptoms when I actually stick to that. Get up earlier if you've got a heap that you need to do. It's amazing. Women say to me, oh, but I'm studying, or I'm doing this, or I'm doing that. It doesn't matter. Get up earlier then. You know, get up at 6 in the morning and do it then. It's so much better. You'll have much more focus, much more clarity. Go to bed at 10 and get up earlier instead if you need those extra hours. The next one is make sure that you're drinking pure water. So, you know, water is crucial, and women are drinking estrogenic water, essentially. It's like, you know, outside in the sun, you know, in the car, and then drinking your water out of that is just a bad idea. So get yourself a stainless steel bottle and drink pure water. You know, get your water clean, get a purifier on your taps. It's a massive part of your body, and they, all those things in there, the chlorine and the fluoride, all of that is a toxin towards your body. It's not going to help your endometriosis. So a huge one is really looking after your water consumption, and also making sure you're drinking enough. You know, women
are... I was just going to say really quickly that dioxin is actually in chlorine bleach, and chlorine is used to purify water in many, many countries. So it's like a perfect example of where you should have a water filter, especially if you're estrogen dominant.
Oh, I didn't know that. Oh, thanks for sharing that.
Yeah. Yep, I know. I mean, dioxin is a main ingredient in chlorine too. I actually didn't know that it was a main ingredient in the genetically modified, what do you call those things? Yeah, crops. I didn't realize that. I thought that I just knew that it's from chlorine.
Yeah, it's on so many things. I mean, they advertise Roundup as a weed killer here all the time, and you know.
Yeah.
So that. Ugh. Yeah. It's really annoying.
We have it too. It's very sad. I know it's painful, but all you can really do is take steps to protect yourself. So, like you were saying, getting a water filter. I'm a huge proponent of that too.
Yeah, and so. In a few weeks, I'm actually releasing an app, and I share a lot more of these sort of ideas around wellness. So I'll share that with you when it's out. But it's basically going to be, you know, the first steps to wellness, and it's a 21-day challenge. So a woman can get these insights with links and everything as well. So there's the whole one on water, and you know how to know what sort of water to get, and how to, you know, what's the best source of water and all that kind of stuff. So yeah. So we're going to have, and then sort of five, what have we done? Two, we've done two. So more would be, you know, looking after your body. So, you know, in terms of making yourself feel beautiful and loving your body the way it is, you know, none of this criticizing, oh, I wish my thighs weren't so big, and I wish, you know, I had this or I had that or whatever. You're incredibly blessed to have the body that you're in. This is your, you know, this is your space that you get to reside in while you're alive. And, you know, this is your vehicle to get you around and allows you to do everything that you want to do in your life. So, you know, stop beating it up and stop treating it so harshly, and really just love it. I have a book called Kissed by Nature, and it's all just how to make your own beauty scrubs and all these kind of beautiful things. And I do it every Friday, and it's such a nice routine because it's my way of topping myself up and just feeling really loved and loving myself and being okay with that. You know, not being like, oh, well, it's like weird to say you love yourself and all this kind of stuff. It's totally okay. You should love yourself. So, yeah,
I know, right? You should, because it's really difficult for other people to love you if you don't love yourself.
Exactly. Yeah. And, you know, and there's so much of this kind of, don't read those silly women's magazines, because they make you feel terrible.
Yes. They have the tendency to do that. I agree.
I think
that we need to be much more focused on things that are surrounding ourselves with things of beauty, or we find beautiful, or things that are going to lift us up and empower us, rather than something that's going to bring us down. So you've made some really good points. In just wrapping up, or starting to wrap up, because we're getting close to our time already. Is there anything else that you want to share for women? Any kind of tips or anything like that? I feel like we got to maybe three or four.
Yeah, all of them. So obviously diet is a big one. Diet is beyond just looking after your health. When you shift your diet, you shift your whole outlook on life. Everything becomes way more open, way more possible. And look at diet as something that replenishes your body. Don't look at it as restriction. Please, ladies, I see this so often. Oh, I'm being good today. Oh, can I treat myself with chocolate? It is not a treat. You treat yourself every single day by making food choices that really nourish your body. And that is so powerful. It really transforms everything, you know, not just how your body feels. So.
Totally. I can attest to that 100% for not only myself, but all the women I've worked with. It's exactly the same thing. I mean, it truly is the foundation. And if we are treating food in a very strong emotional way, the way that we've been taught to for most of our lives, at least many women have been taught that, where it's going to negatively impact us. So we have to, even if we eat something that isn't that great for us, we really have to be focused on the fact that we're loving what we're eating and there's no guilt allowed.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, thank you so much for having me on the show. I'm so excited to share everything with everyone. And yeah.
Thank you. I know it's been so great to have you. And I would love for you to just share where everyone can find you online. And, you know, just before we get off.
Yeah. So I'm at indoempowered.com. And they can find out about me through that. They can find out about my program. There's also an outline of my rich technique in a little bit more detail. So there's a video series. So it's a free mini course that you can do online that guides you through exactly what the rich technique is. You get a free starter guide on how to get started with that. And, yeah, so you can find out all about me there at indoempowered.com.
Thank you. Amazing. Thank you so much for sharing your story, Melissa. It really is empowering and I think very motivating for a lot of women who are just stuck in a place of really awful pain and dealing with endometriosis and not feeling like they have any solution. So thank you for sharing how you have been able to overcome the pain that you experience. I really appreciate you giving us your time.
Yeah, thank you. I just want women to really know that the is a better way. You don't have to be stuck with just hormone treatments and painkillers and surgery, that this is a non-invasive way to look after your body. And it really comes back to the philosophy of first do no harm, which is, you know, really what it's all about. Thank you.
It's so true. Thank you so much. I hope you have an awesome evening and we'll be in touch soon.
Cool.
All right. Bye.
Bye.